Hi, welcome to the Council of Moms. I'm Lisa Valentine Clark. The Council of Moms is where we come together to really work it out, what works, what doesn't work, and why we need to keep a sense of humor as moms. I also like to say, Council of Moms, nobody gets it like we get it. Mm-hmm. Also, Council of Moms, where you can answer honestly when someone asks, so how you doing?
Right.
Yes.
It always depends, too, on how they ask you, right? Like, how you doing? Mm. Or, how are you doing? It totally changes it. We get it.
Yes.
We get it.
We get it.
And yes. Finally, the Council of Moms, made with real moms. And here are some real moms. Again,
it.
I'm Lisa Valentine Clark. I am the mother of five, one who's at home. I feel like my stage of mothering right now is that I'm really practicing how to let go again and again and again as I parent adult kids, whatever that means. I feel like it's a lot of food and a lot of expressing of love. I know that there's something else in there, but I'm trying to figure it out.
Not judgment.
Oh, here we go. I love, yes. And just like practicing my resting face of like, oh, interesting. Tell me more. Instead of, what? Also here today, we have some other moms, and I'll let them introduce themselves.
Awesome. My name is Cree Taylor. I am also a mom of five. I had a baby on April 12th. So
congratulations.
We're in the same phase of life. Thank you. In the same phase of life as Lisa in that I only have one child at home because the others are at school and daycare.
Funny.
But my brain is not fully functioning, but my kids range in ages. Well, summer, I'm a teacher, so all my children have summer birthdays. So summer hits and all their birthdays transition. So it's ages 10 to a newborn. And my brain is not, it takes a minute for it to turn on. So for me to introduce myself first today was high pressure, but I'm doing it.
You're doing a great job, by the way. You're doing
so
a great
much.
Job.
Yeah. And I'm actively listening to make sure she stays asleep while we are recording this podcast. But I'm grateful to be here. I love to talk about mothering and even with my teaching career, how they just kind of talk to each other. So this will be a good conversation for me.
I love it. Thanks, Cree.
So good. I'm Amy Hackworth. I'm a mother to three boys, two semi-adults, I think we call them.
I think so.
And an 11-year-old still at home. So I'm in the stage of life where I just really want to hold a baby, Cree. So let me know.
Yeah. Right? How can we get our hands on that baby?
Yeah.
3 a.m.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
A good time.
That's the opening. Okay, sounds great. I'll be there. I love that for you. Yeah, just figuring out these different stages. I can super relate to Lisa. I feel like I have one foot in my previous life, maybe as an over-parenting parent, and one foot in my support and accept role, which I'm really working on. And, yeah. and I go back and forth, right? Sometimes I have both feet in either
sure.
of those places.
Yeah. Nobody's going to tell you what to do. Yeah, I like that.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
Yeah.
Hello, hello, everyone. I'm Michelle Loveday. I'm an educator of 23 years. So like Cree, I feel like I think the benefit of balancing child development has kind of helped my parenting and also crippled it. I don't know. I don't know what's better.
Right.
I know too much. I know. I see too much. And so my kids are in trouble before it even happens. So that's not good
amazing.
For them. And I'm a mother, I say to 5 to 6 kids, because in the middle of the parenting, we had a young girl come into our lives when she was in 7th grade. And so we have semi-adopted her into our family. So we have 6 children. And my daughters would always want me to say, you have 6 kids. And I do. I love them all. I'm in the weird stage where I have adult children, so the older 4 are out of the house and living on their own, and so I'm practicing non-judgment, and I told you so's have to be stuffed down, so that's not good advice to give them.
Don't say that. So,
that's why we do it here.
Yeah.
That's why we do it here on the Council of Moms.
So I'm hearing that. And the older four, they're living their life. They're great. You know, 25, 24. They're 16 months apart and 23. So those four are out. The twins were involved with all that. And, wow. You know, I'm a bonus mom, but I got those kids when they were 4, 4, and 5. So wow. I'm not a bonus mom in my eyes and how I've raised them from my heart. And then two from my womb are still at home, and they are 16 and 12. And that's a fun time because they're teenagers experiencing hormones, and I'm in perimenopause.
So beautiful tornado.
It's a great landscape of beauty and communication.
You're getting a lot of practice at communicating and feeling.
Mm-hmm. Lots
and
of
I'm
feelings.
I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
All these feelings.
I'm here. I'm here for it. And
love it.
That's where I'm at. But I love the kids. And yes. And I like am loving where Cree is. I'm like, oh, good for her.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. She's got the little ones.
It's so good, though, to like to get together and be able to appreciate the different stages, because it reminds you of things that you know that you kind of forgot or haven't talked about. And then you kind of like look ahead to and you start thinking about it as when you're. So I did. This is why I'm a real proponent of like having friends that are in different stages of life, have different life experiences and different ages. I just think it's like a superpower. And that's why we always talk about this when I think about Council of Moms, about like I benefit from that so much. And I think we all do. It's like that community. Yeah. But I love what Michelle said. The Council of Moms, we know too much. Like, I feel like you hit the nail on the head there.
Yeah.
Well, I'm so glad that you're here. We get questions from listeners. And I love it because I just think, what are people talking about? What are we not talking about enough? So here it is today. Hey, moms, now that all the back to school chaos is over, I am dreading what happens in the next few weeks. My kids start out the school year energized, but it's downhill from there. The novelty is going to wear off, and the disorganization is going to settle in. And by the time we get to Christmas break, my kids will be resisting all things school and homework. Boy, isn't that a pattern? Yeah. And this is different for each of my kids. One of them's really good at managing herself until she misses one assignment. And then once the streak is broken, she just struggles until the end of the term. But another kid, I have to pull teeth to do homework from day one until by the end of the year, these are turning into huge conflicts all of the time because we're just both exhausted.
Yeah.
At which point I think back to September and wish we had done something differently. What can I do? So here's like the real focus of this dilemma. Yeah. What strategies have worked for you short term or long term to keep that blank slate school year feeling for as long as possible? Mm.
Oh, yeah. The honeymoon stage is beautiful in all its aspects. Everyone's out of the house. You can clean and keep it clean. The food stays in the fridge. Everyone's excited to see friends again. And then they realize that they have to do the work or keep doing the work or not feel overwhelmed. I like how she said everyone's fine until the one assignment's not done. And then she kind of doesn't like that fear of failure. So she freezes. And for me as a parent, I think every day my kids have homework and I just stay in that routine. And if they don't have homework from their teachers, or now they're in junior high and high school, and so they did it in TA class, so they say, that they completed it. And if that's the case, then okay, well, go check through your Canvas to make sure everything's submitted and turned in. And let's just take 10, 15 minutes. Everyone's doing homework. That gives me a chance to read and go through things that I need to do. But we have homework every day just to kind of make it like we're preparing for the next day. And I know my daughter, she's big into YouTube and she's always talking about the Sunday reset. So I'm like, let's do a reset. Yeah. So we're prepared so that I don't have to have a problem. So that's one thing I would say.
So for me, I was just curious at how old these kids were. So I mentioned I was an educator. I teach in higher education. So I get like 17 to 22 year olds. So the advice I would give for like that kind of teenager age would be different than my own kids' age when they're in elementary school.
Point.
So part of it is like with my younger kids, if I'm thinking of how do I keep them engaged in learning, the first thing I tell my 10-year-old when she comes home and she's like, oh, I hate what we're studying. This is the most boring thing ever. I'm like, you need to be able to learn when it's boring. Like, your teachers are aware that not every kid loves every topic. So the challenge for you right now is to learn in the boring and then know that the next unit, maybe you'll really love. I think maybe that advice is universal for both.
Yeah.
But the other thing I think of as a mom is my kids right now just love facts. Like, because they don't care why the thing is the thing. They're just learning that the thing exists. So my 7-year-old, he was like, Mom, did you know that zebras have unique stripes and the baby zebra knows the mom's stripes? And I'm like, wow, son, that's fascinating. And then I think of my 17-year-old students and they'd be like, why should I care? They want to know why it matters that the zebra has different color stripes. Yeah. And so in that scenario, I think as a mom, and I'm trying to, like, I mother a little bit in the classroom to say, okay, you tell me, why is this important? What implications does this have for parent, for human relationships?
Yeah.
How does this connect to the other classes that you're learning? And I'm not going to ask my 7-year-old that. I'm just going to go, wow, what other cool animal facts do you know? And sometimes that is helpful to make sure that as a mom, I'm checking in with their learning and seeing if the things are being applied or understood for those different age groups.
Oh, I love that. Because I do think that age does kind of matter. And when I think back to this pattern, I think, I relate to that. And I used to be a school teacher as well. And you can tell people are excited and you've got your new school supplies. I think school supplies go a long way in getting. And it's like sort of that pageantry of, this is a new and a fun thing and learning is so great and it's idealized. And then, yeah, you get into the sort of mundane of the everyday and you're like, oh, this is hard. And my pencils are dull and my notebooks are written in and my spirit is dull. And sometimes I think you can fall back into that routine, which is great of like, my kids are going to die because I sing this now. And it's like they get chills down their spine. But I used to be
trauma
like,
trauma response.
7 to 9 is homework time. 7 to 9 is homework time. Like when they were in,
I love it.
When they were like in junior high, I was like, if we just know we've got like 2 hours, like it's not going to take the whole 2 hours, but like that's what we do. You come home from school, you get a snack, you reset, you play, you do something creative or whatever. Like, and we have dinner and we talk together as a family. And then, you got some stuff to do, so just do it.
Yeah,
and let's not like think it. And I found that it was better to do it instead of like right after school. But that was just for my kids. Like I shifted it around, but I'd be like 7 to 9, and I was. My kids are like, stop.
It's catchy.
Stop.
It's very catchy.
Yes,
it's very catchy.
That was. I was trying to be like do like a little jingle, like a like a commercial.
Yeah, it worked.
It worked in September and October, maybe November. In March, it was like, no, stop. And it was like, okay, I'll do the homework if you don't sing the song.
But the habit was established.
Thank you. So I really am a big proponent of habit and also like that life lesson of like, oh, we do things that we don't feel like doing because they're the right thing to do. And it's a gift for our future self.
I love all this so much. And I guess I will chime in with the, the like hope for the parents of the neurodivergent kids, maybe,
yes.
or the kids who are not going to stick to the habit or are going to, of course, every kid's going to fight against the habit. So maybe that's not, I'm chiming in for the neurodivergent moms. Maybe that's what I'm doing here.
Yeah, everybody.
I think there are times when we also have to weigh the value of the homework with the value of our relationship. And I also have a background in education. I'm not here to diss the teachers or education.
No way.
I mean,
such
a great and important system. But I think, too, we sometimes have to think, like, is finishing this report, does it come at the cost of our relationship? Does it come at the cost of some other opportunity that is better for my child's mental health or for their overall development, those kinds of things? This is uncomfortable territory for me to talk about. I'm getting a little pit in my stomach as I'm saying these things. But I think it's important to recognize that. For a long time, I just thought that is our path to success, kids, is if all your checks are there in Canvas. You know, if we've got everything done in Canvas, then you are on the road to success and you will be a happy, healthy adult. That's not always the case for certain kids. And so I'm not advocating giving up on homework, certainly. But I think it's important, too, to remember that school is not built for all kids. And some of the things that our kids are asked to do are not going to be a good fit for them. And we get to figure out as parents, does that mean chatting with the teacher, advocating for what they need? Does that mean working with our student to do something else that meets those learning goals? Like, I loved what you were talking about, Cree. You know, certain kids in certain developmental stages need different things to light them up. And so flexibility, I think, is always important.
Yeah, Amy, with what you were saying, it just kind of reminded me of this concept of triage. Like, there are some points during the school year where it's not maybe worth the fight to push the homework, or my kids have to come home and read these boring books and they like reading exciting books. And so this idea of like, is it worth the relationship to force them to do this thing? Is that worth the sacrifice? And then sometimes you're like, yeah, like we got to get this done. We're going to push through. You can do challenging things. And other times you're like, today was a rough day. They're obviously, you know, maybe they got picked on at school. Maybe they're just not feeling very confident. And now mom's also berating them. So I think part of the solution here is knowing how to triage when you push it, when you don't, understanding when you make a mistake and being willing to apologize. The other thing I think about is just giving so much grace to those teachers. Like, they know they're professionals. They know those really difficult times of the year where the students just maybe aren't connecting. And you know they're thinking about it, right? 150 kids they have to teach. How do I make this more exciting? How do I make this more engaging? So I think if we can trust that teachers are doing their best, then at home we can go, you know what? If they don't do this one thing, I think it'll be okay because we're working on this as a partnership. And maybe that's helpful, especially for the more challenging times of the year.
Oh, yeah. I appreciate that balance.
And helping two kids find their footing, you know, as like you said earlier, Cree, what are their ages and stages of life? Like, by the time my kids were in high school, they didn't want to hear from me every day. And that was not helpful for either their productivity or our relationship. And so we had to balance that out. So does that look like a once a week check-in where we really do a deep dive and then they talk about what needs to be done? And maybe there are some boundaries around that. Oh, you know, if these things aren't turned in by this date, then, you know, then there's a consequence that we agree on and you know ahead of time this is coming. I think taking all the guesswork out of that can be so helpful as a parent and just finding that balance of, you know, you're slowly having to hand over this responsibility to your kids, you know, and then letting them falter and flail at it if that's where they are, you know?
Yeah. And it's a good balance. I mean, you can always like, oh, mom, I want to go to so-and-so's house. And it's like, well, did you get all your work done? And for me in my house, it's not about chores. It's what do you have finished that won't come to bite you, you know, the next day at school or anything like that? Mm-hmm. Did you get everything finished? I think schools and teachers are more aware now that on that Hagerty scale, homework is like a small blip of things. Mm-hmm. And so they're really giving it and assigning it more. So a lot of it had to have been done in class. And so going to back to school night is so important so you can understand what the teacher's expectations are, so you can follow up at home and you have that ammo, so to speak, in your back pocket of, remember, I talked to your teacher, I was there. And she said that, you know, the only reason why you have homework is because, you know, you were farting around in class. So this is on you. And you can kind of hold it.
Said farting around. I say that too. I didn't know that was like a thing people say.
That's an official phrase in the Council of Moms, actually. Yeah. Yeah. It's a thing. Scientific term.
Yeah.
Because nothing else describes it better than that.
Yeah. It lets them know that you're serious, but you're not going to swear.
And everybody does it.
Yeah, everybody does it.
That's very true.
There's that.
That's like, exactly it. And you just have to hold them to it. And, you know, I have a kid, my 16-year-old is very like, well, school is not even in the construct of the blah, 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 and how we used to go,
I have a kid like that I'm like, are we going to like argue the finer points of the educational system? Or are you just going to do the one assignment?
And I said, sweetie, I'm in the system. I get it. Like, right. Don't even try to tell me. I know. Things
are
broken. I am
the system.
Like, I am the system. And I get it. I know. But can you just hoop jump this one time?
Yeah.
Or, you know, or fine. And I think, too, just I've gotten over, like, well, what you put in is what you get out. So if you want to get into this college, you said you want to get into engineering. Yeah. I don't know what acceptance rate you have. So that's on you. And I think, Amy, you said it best. It's just holding them to the responsibility. I think we're in the age of just like, okay, yes, grades are important, but that all A's and that success looks different. And I, you know, I'm a learner. So for my kid to not want to jump through hoops is weird.
Right.
And so I had to kind of adjust because they're not me. And and just say, you know what? This is the kid that literally said to me, Mom, C's get degrees. And so, okay, let's just, okay, if you're willing to do that. But no, also, I have six of you. I'm not paying for any of your education. So I hope that degree can also get you a scholarship or you can work to get into school or whatever your future looks like. And just having an open conversation and reminding yourself what is easy to them might be hard for you or vice versa. And just really understanding the expectations of the teacher, the deadlines. Like, you know, I have a procrastinator and she knew that like everything could be due May 30th up till from January. Yeah, and she was happy to put it off. I
that is
died.
My kid.
It's insane.
I would have had an ulcer. I really would have.
I would not.
And she's like,
I've got
no worries,
May.
Mom.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
yeah. Yeah. Yes. And so I had to the first, you know, seventh, eighth grade, I had to watch. And then I'm like, okay, you know what? I already got the degree. I got two, three degrees. So do you, boo. Like, I can't.
Good luck.
Good luck. And let me know how that works out because my basin is unavailable after a certain age, you know.
But you're also there.
Yes.
When they're like, hey, Mom, I know you're really good at X, Y, or Z. I know you can not procrastinate. And you're like, call to me. Ask me for help.
Yeah.
Please.
Well, and
I've been waiting. And biting my nails and just saying, like, just please ask me this whole time. So I think there's also that where you can, like, relieve, like, wash your hands and go take it. And then when they're ready to ask,
you're back.
It feels good. You're like, I'm back. What can I do? Also, not
I'm never
going
to leave
ask,
it.
Maybe, but yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm here to help you. If you ask, I'm here. But I'm not going to push and push and push and push.
I thought I was such an asset to my kids because I was a high school English teacher. And I was like, this is so great. I can help them edit their essays. I can help them write their papers, come up with great ideas. And I thought I had no idea it was a liability.
I know, right?
Because
you know
I didn't
much.
Know, like, it's like I was trying to sell myself to that my kids. I'm like, I have a degree in this. I actually really like writing a five-paragraph essay. Like, this is how my brain works. Like, I love it. Yeah. And it's like, cool story, bro. Like, they could not care less.
But now, because my mom does, like, they'll call you, Mom, check this resume. I wrote this email. So it comes back around that they
know you're
good
at
it. Just not when they're doing it. They don't need you. They don't need you that way.
Fascinating.
We gotta circle back to this mom having compassion for herself. That's the drama always beat, right? Of course, by December, everyone's tired. You know,
We
love the idea that we have that same enthusiasm in September in December that we had in September, but that's just probably not very realistic. It's like it's one of those fantasies that comes back to haunt us. And it's probably not serving us to hope that things could be the same then. Like, yes, let's establish the habit. Yes, let's start off on the right foot as best we can. And if we're burned out and our kids are in December, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
No wonder we're feeling a little tired.
It seemed like in the question, this mom was like, there has to be a way to maintain enthusiasm for 9 months of the school year. And I think the answer is like,
the question.
Is that in there? And it's like, there's no way.
It's what strategies have worked for short term or long term to keep that blank slate school year feeling for as long as possible? It's like, well, maybe
I don't know,
give
man.
Up.
I think
love the council of moms.
Yeah. You can.
Love you.
But well, each part.
It's not you,
quarter,
it's them.
And each quarter is going to feel different.
Yes.
So you have to like hold on to, okay, we made it through Christmas. What is that going to look like in school? We've got to be in. We're going to have indoor recess time. What are you excited about? Finding what they like in that period because it's going to feel
good
different.
Point.
Right? And so, you know, when you have younger kids, it's always you're going to have indoor recess. So what does this look like? What do you get to do? How can you handle it? And, you know, as they get older, they have a different quarter, different teachers. So it's like, yeah. You can just, what are your new round of teachers going to look like? And what class excites you? So just trying to find that joy in each day. The blank slate is not so much, but the habits are there, the compassion for yourself are there, and just the values you put into your family of what's important. And I think that looks different for every family, you know, but in this family, you know, we're going to value reading aloud. And so we all get into my bedroom, whether it's through YouTube or we're going to be reading. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, if you want to be doing your homework while we're doing that together, at all ages, that's going to be important for you to do that. So, the blank slate, not so much. So. Sorry.
But you bring up a good point, though, about, like, the terms. And a conversation that I would have, especially, like, with older kids, like junior high and high school and even college, to be honest, is, okay, so Christmas break is coming up or winter break or spring break or, you know, whatever. You don't – or fall break, you know, at all of these different areas.
Yes.
We don't want to be – we want this to be a break. We don't want to be worrying about assignments and having something hanging over. So when do you need to get stuff done so that you can really get a true break? Because everyone needs a break from the regular so that it feels fresh. If you're always just scrambling during the break, during the routine, then you just always feel like, you know, sort of worked up. But if you are allowing yourself to be like, I worked hard and now I'm going to take a break and it's going to feel different, that can help. Keep that feeling of excitement. Yes. Oh, I'm ready to start again.
Like it's called a break for a reason. It's not your it's not your winter catch-up time. It's not your spring catch-up time. Like let's make sure that I think I've said this before, but I love the phrase of we're going to thank our past self for taking care of future me. Like we're going to do that.
Love
so
it.
when the break comes, if it's winter break, it's spring break, we're going thank you so much me of September for having so much enthusiasm, even as a mom too, not just as a student, for having so much enthusiasm. I helped my kids get these really good habits. I helped them stay on top of their work. And now we get a break. Like, that's so wonderful. And I think that if you're following those, it helps. Yeah.
You know what I started? And I think, it's a good life skill. And the one thing that I started during COVID that now has transitioned into like this routine, my child, I'm trying to think, was in fifth or sixth grade during COVID, and there was a lot of paperwork after they got back. I don't know what happened with the transition of being on the Chromebook
really
during that time.
Paper back.
They just got paper, and there was a lot. There was a lot of paper, and I remember I, for some reason, held on to that paper because I wasn't sure what was due. And this child always would be like, oh, I turned it in, but like really didn't. And so I was keeping it just in case she really turned it in and then needed it. And I held on to this paper. So at the end of the year, we were at a friend's house around their campfire. And I was like, hey, E, do you want to burn this paper? And she's like, yes. And I'm like, let's burn school. No. And like we put all the paper in the campfire. We
Love
cheered.
It.
And like my one kid's friend was like, I want to burn something. And you know, it kind of turned into some questionable behavior. But
listen, whatever it takes, it's fine.
But we burned it. But my fourth grader remembers that. And to this day, they are seventh and 10th grade. Up in my cupboard, I have their folders of papers from AP World History to math. And my daughter, each quarter, put that in there. We're going to burn it. So at the end of the year, we have this new tradition where we're just going to burn it at the end of this year. So finding something new that could help that mom, you know, like if you get this
what
done.
What strategies do you have?
Well,
have you considered arsoning?
I'm all just campfire like, safety it's just. Rules.
It's camp, You know, what is it? You know, leave it behind, have some, but it's great. And then we had s'mores and we celebrated the end of a successful school year. So
you're creating like new traditions and like new like rituals just to say, this is just how we're going to live our life. And I love that.
Yeah. And just to let them know we held on to it, but you can let it go. And, you know, some things stuck and some things didn't. But this is your job as a student. Mm-hmm. I had to go to work each day when it was hard. You have to do work when it's hard. And let's burn
let's
it at the end in a safe way.
I, I wanted to share really quick, if I can, just like with my littles, what I try to do every day. Please. And I'm exhausted, but I use the car time. Like the car, I use it so much with them. So I pick up two of them from the elementary school, and then I pick up two of them from the daycare, and then we have about a 20-minute drive home. So it's always like, I call them by name. Tell me about your day. And my son's always like, it was the worst day ever. Every day is the worst day.
Every day.
And it's, well, what happened? As I was leaving, I tripped. And I'm like, oh, boy. But we ask, it's every day, tell me about your day. What did you learn? My two-year-old from the daycare, what did you do today? Oh, I sang songs. I played trucks with my friends. But in my home, our emphasis is, what are you learning? It's not necessarily like, did you get this great grade? Did you not do very well on your spelling test? We just emphasize like, what are you learning? And so when they come home with something and they have their folder and they're really excited to share it with me, I will say, I want to look at this with you. Let's look at it. Right after dinner, I'll sit on the couch. Maybe we're feeding baby sister and we're flipping through and they're telling me about what they learned. And the littles love it. They love to be like, Mom, I wrote this sentence at the beginning and then I changed it. Isn't this so funny what I drew? So like taking those little moments, and it doesn't happen every day, but every once in a while I'm like, okay, what do you got? They bring home a big folder. And with the littles, letting them share with you what they're learning, sitting down and really looking at, okay, my son here, I got it right here. He drew this tiger.
Oh, and that's he was so cute.
I love the head.
He's a kindergartner. So he was so pumped. He's like, and I did my stripes differently than my teacher did. And I'm like, that's so great.
Yeah, you did.
Tell me about these stripes. Tell me about them, right? Well, she did hers yellow. So I think with those littles, I mean, we're talking a lot about those older kids, but I think with those littles, they just want to tell somebody what they're learning, and they want you to be excited, and they want you to, they want it to feel like they're teaching, like, Mom didn't know, but then I told her this fact about jellyfish, right? It's really joyful, and it just gives you a moment. So I think if the kids, with this mom or with any mom, if the kids are little, sometimes a learning enthusiasm is sitting with them and they're learning, letting them teach you something, even if you already knew it, letting them teach it to you, and it seriously takes maybe 5 minutes, because then they're bored and they want to go play and do something else. But I found that that's really helped my younger kids with their learning.
And it helps them like feel that feeling, that blank slate feeling. This has been such a great discussion. And I really appreciate all of that this conversation has sparked. So thank you so much, for being here. Cree, Michelle, Amy, thank you so much for your time. The Council of Moms is a production of BYU Radio. And please send this episode of Council of Moms. Help us spread the love so that nobody has to do this alone. Who's just like sitting, door dashing things to themselves, you know, without seeing the outdoor light. Now, even if you see other people, if you listen to this and you thought, but they didn't talk about this point, hey, send us a message, because this is how this works. Your questions really help to keep us real and help to keep Council of Moms relevant. So, and we will see you next time on the Council of Moms.